The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Here comes Granlund taking the handoff from CeCe, skating to center. Oh, across the line, just barely onside. Celebrini moving in, shooting it. He scores! Declan Celebrini is surrounded by a gaggle of Sharksmen in teal as a kid from Vancouver, BC, by way of the Junior Sharks, gets the game winner in overtime on a pass from Mikhail Granlund. Sharks 5, Red Wings 4, and SAP Center is in a state of ecstasy.
Oh, what a fun call from Dan Ruzanowski the other night as Macklin Celebrini wins it in overtime for the San Jose Sharks, and now they are back at it, a two-game back-to-back road trip before they're back home on Saturday night, but they're in Dallas tonight, at St. Louis tomorrow night, and then back home against Buffalo on Saturday for Jumbo Night. For the San Jose Sharks, this is pretty exciting, I gotta say, to watch them play so much better overall. It was not ultimately what I expected to see, but it is very, very nice to watch them play winning hockey and play to an extent that is just, I think, what we were hoping for. You know, right now it's been an over 600 winning percentage since the 0-7-2 start to the season. And there's a great thread that came out about Macklin Celebrini from Mike Kelly, who is the head analytics guy at NHL Network. He tweeted out, Macklin Celebrini, beyond impressive what he's done in his first eight games in the National, so much more than his goals. Let's take a look at a few areas of his game that really stand out. He said, creating offensive puck moving, great understanding on how to get to the middle entries, something he worked on a lot at BU last season. Stat per game, first among forwards in controlled entries with 9.1. MacKinnon is second, McDavid is third. And he says, we'll get better at making of them. He said, explosiveness is already showing an elite ability at getting off the wall and into the middle of the ice when receiving the puck in the offensive zone. Elusive, it protects the pucks well. Per game, he is fifth amongst forwards in open ice dekes. Top four are McDavid, Terry, Eichel, and Kaprizov. Off-puck play, this is what Kelly says, is maybe most impressive, how good he is without the puck this early. Anticipates well, heavy, and always battling to get pucks early. Stat per game, first among forwards in puck battle wins, 20th in loose puck recoveries, 26th in blocked passes. And his 200-foot game, he's showing it all right now. And as Mike Kelly says, he is the real deal and scratching the surface of what he'll become. And I just keep on going back to the idea that Macklin has exceeded what he was billed as. I think people thought he would be good, but he's really, really good already, just eight games into his career. Some news from Sheng Peng. Mackenzie Blackwood will get the start today. Blackwood will be backed up by Vanecek. Both Vanecek and Askarov are on the road. Unsure if Askarov starts tomorrow. Right now, Vanecek is day-to-day. It is the same lineup as last night. So, yeah, fun times for the San Jose Sharks. It was fun watching that team the other night out there on the ice. It was fun watching what they're capable of. And so, and I'm very curious to see what they do in a real big test today against Dallas. So this is a big one for San Jose to see if they can take a step forward. For more on Dallas, let's now bring in an expert. We are now joined on the Sharks Audio Network by Owen Newkirk of at DLLS Sports. He is joining us to get ready to talk about tonight's showdown between the Sharks and the Stars. Owen, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hey, Ted. It's always a pleasure to chat with my dual sport buddy over on the West Coast.
I know. I'll let everyone know I could not go more than 10 seconds without asking about FC Dallas news that broke earlier this morning. But yeah, it's fun, man, because we get to lead very similar lives. Your kids are just a little bit older than mine. But, you know, the Stars are, you know, in the eyes of where the Sharks are right now, kind of viewed as a team like, hey, if they can beat this power in the NHL, that's a big step forward. And going back to the game earlier this season, the Stars, after beating San Jose in a shootout, had some pretty high praise.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I always find it interesting that even with these two clubs at sort of different ends of the spectrum as far as what they're doing and what they're trying to accomplish, it always seems to be a challenging game, right? There aren't many stars, at least in the last couple of years, there aren't really blowouts from either side. The biggest win, it's probably a 3-goal margin is, that's happened a couple times over the last couple of years, but it's shootout, overtime. It's spot 3 goals and come back and win in overtime. It's take a 3-goal lead and lose 5-3. That happened a couple Januaries ago. Mm-hmm. I think Erik Karlsson scored the winner when San Jose scored 5 unanswered after being behind 3-0. So I never know what to expect for these two teams because it doesn't necessarily follow the, oh, well, you're at the top of the spectrum, you're at the bottom, you should win. And we saw that the other night against Anaheim. Stars did not have a good start to the game. Ducks had the lead, and those are very difficult in the NHL to chase games when you're behind by a couple goals.
What do you think has been the overall view of where the Stars are at right now? I mean, I know that some might say, oh, this team should be better than 11-6 overall right now, where I'm saying, that's not a bad place to be at all. It's a good team by the way I view it.
Yeah. I'm mixed on where this team is at because they're a really good team and they expect to be competing in the playoffs and for a Stanley Cup. And that hasn't changed, but they are not playing consistently high-level hockey like we saw for much of last year. Now, of course, there's ups and downs, and last year they had that too. The big thing for me is the Stars' balanced offense has not been there consistently. Mm-hmm. Now, they had 2 games where they scored 7 goals in back-to-back games. They played a really great road game in Minnesota last week. Then they go out and they play against Anaheim, and I wasn't happy with the way they started. They could have been very different in the second period. You know, Roope Hintz had a breakaway in the first 10 seconds. Nice save by Dostal. If Tyler Seguin's breakaway that hits the crossbar goes straight down and out and doesn't go in, goes in. If Ilya Lyubushkin's 2-on-1 shorthanded doesn't hit the elbow, if it goes in, which was a great shot, by the way, then it is maybe a different story. But then after that, Cutter Gauthier scores a power play goal. It's down 3. It's a chasing kind of thing. So now I look at this team and I say, and I think this was really interesting that Pete DeBoer said this morning. He said too often this year, they've been a one-line team. Mm-hmm. And that one line has been Duchesne, Marchman, and Sagan. And it's been unbelievably good. Really, really good. But Jason Robertson's not having a good start to the season. I can explain more about that in a minute if you like. Roope Hintz has been up and down. Maverick Bork is figuring things out. Finally had a really good game where he was noticeable against, actually, believe it or not, he was one of the few bright spots against the Ducks. Logan Stankoven has been fantastic, but trying to figure out the best place for him. Wyatt Johnson's had a slow start. There's times where the fourth line's been really good, but it's been inconsistent where, last year for a month, more often than not, the Stars had multiple lines going and you never knew which was going to be the one that was the best line on the night, but you knew a couple of them at least were going to be going.
Why isn't the power play as effective as I expected it to be? And I don't say this just as a Sharks person, but I wonder, is this the long-term effect of Joe Pavelski no longer being part of that lineup?
Well, that's just it, right? Joe Pavelski had a hand in so much that you see and that you don't see. The coaching staff, which obviously has deep roots with San Jose, talked about Joe learning from Jumbo, a.k.a. Thornton, learning from Patrick Marleau, and then turning in and passing it on to the Dallas Stars and how the beast, the way he plays and the way you are as a pro. And I remember Steve Spott told us last week, he said, that's where Logan Stankoven, Wyatt Johnson, those guys have to take that. And, but he also said, Roope Hintz, Jason Robertson, Miro Heiskanen, all those guys, learn those things from the best, take it from that. So not just the on-ice stuff, they called Joe a surrogate coach. And he said so many times they would go last year even to talk to Jason Robertson and Rope Hintz about something, and only to find that Joe had already said something to them about that and talked it through. He's like having an extra coach on the team. I know that on my show on DLLS, Craig Ludwig, one of my co-hosts, has constantly been saying, he's a fellow Wisconsin guy, so a Scotty, and he said the Dallas Stars have to get Joe in the organization somehow. They have to keep him, whether it's coaching, whether it's scouting, front office. And I know that that offer's out there. And I don't know if it's the offer that he wants or if it's he's not ready for that. I know his kid is playing and that's important and he's back in Wisconsin. But you got to have Joe Pavelski's hands on things because he's that much of an impact. But here, to answer your question, as I meander to this answer, the five – and Spotter said this the other day. The power play goes as your five-on-five offense goes many times. Now, look, there's certain times where you're not very good five-on-five, your power play is lethal, and that picks you up fine. But when you're not playing well offensively at five-on-five, it kind of reflects in your power play game. And that's what he said, and I agree with that. And so I think the Stars, like we said, speed bumps, trying to get through the year like everybody else, and it's okay. Like, they're fine. But they're not running away with it. They're not doing what Winnipeg did to start the season. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that the season is somehow off to a down start. Especially, no. As you said, 11 wins is not bad to start the year.
No, especially when, it's the classic formula. You guys only have, I think two losses at home and then 500 on the road. Like, that's literally the recipe for success. It's interesting to watch. Winnipeg was a really good team last year. What do they have, 710 points, something like that? And they've picked up right where they left off. They've been a juggernaut in the early going. Minnesota has seen a huge correction from where they were a year ago and what we thought they would be. Colorado's, to borrow from you, meandering a bit right now. So it's kind of got the Stars in this interesting place from my vantage point where I'm like, well, I looking at the Central, I'm not quite sure where they are because not to be that guy, but Winnipeg, they're kind of doing what Vancouver did a year ago. And I always just kind of look for certain trends. And so while there's not really, I'm not surprised that Dallas isn't having a start like Winnipeg, but it's kind of like, well, maybe that's just what good teams do. Maybe they start off and they find themselves. I can compare to the Chiefs a year ago where they were a slow starter in the NFL and then they hit their form. And, I've seen it with so many teams where it's not the hot starter. It's the team that, has been good for a while. They just slowly get better and take care of business.
Yeah, and look, I'm not trying to say that winning the division isn't an important thing for Dallas, but it's not the end all of existence. Let's put it in context from last year. Dallas had the best record in the Western Conference. They finished 1 point behind the Rangers for the President's Trophy, and they got the Vegas Golden Knights in the first round, right? Mm-hmm. And then they had to play Colorado in the second round and Edmonton in the third round.
Yeah.
So that Vegas series was really hard. It took a lot out of them. They won it. It was a big deal for them, everybody. But that wasn't really the kind of first place reward you think it is. So obviously the main goal for this team is to make the playoffs and make it comfortably, meaning you're not stressing at any point in the year that you might not make the playoffs, right? That part last year was, let me tell you, Ted, I covered the Stars for 10 years. And when you're a constant bubble team, when you're in that, wild card range, it's stressful because mm-hmm. every time you lose, you're on the outside and three teams jump in front of you. Then you win and you're back in, you feel good about it. It's a roller coaster. As you know from those great Sharks teams, when you get out in front or in the top pack, and if you're going back and forth, first, second, third, but you're always in that group and you're not really down in the danger zone of dropping out of the wild card, it makes a huge difference. And why is that not important? Well, it's early, but if the playoffs started today, Dallas would play Minnesota. Minnesota's had a great start, but I like our matchup against the Wild. Winnipeg would get Vancouver in the first round. Now, if you get a healthy Thatcher Demko, that Vancouver's a completely different team, but, The Vegas Golden Knights, first in the Pacific, they get the Edmonton Oilers in the first round. I'm okay with that. The point is that there are really good teams throughout the playoff standings. Colorado wouldn't even make the playoffs, although that might change in a day or two. If Colorado wins one of their games in hand, all of a sudden they're in the wild card spot. Now Winnipeg plays Colorado in the first round. I'm okay with that too. That's where I'm going with this, is that as long as you can make sure that you're not really having a doubt about your playoff ticket being punched, whether you win or not doesn't really mean everything in life.
How do you think the team is viewing San Jose coming in, knowing that San Jose is, since their 07-2 start, been a pretty decent team? They've got 6 wins out of their last 12. They've gotten points, in 8 of those last 12 games. They're playing better hockey.
I mean, when you're playing, they're playing 636 hockey since that 9-game winless streak to start the year.
Yeah,
and that's good. And if they play that way for the rest of the year, and that's a big if, they're not going to be in 8th place in the Pacific.
No.
But we use this line a lot because Ken Hitchcock, who won a Stanley Cup as a coach for the Dallas Stars back in 99 and then came back briefly for a short stint between the Lindy Ruff and the Jim Montgomery era, which is, of course, appropriate for being in the news. Ken Hitch used to say, it's not that about going into the ditch. Teams will drop into the ditch during the course of a season. It's how quickly you'll get yourself out of the ditch.
Right.
The longer you wallow in there, the worse it gets. As you evidenced by going 9 games to start the year winless, boy, you're really starting from behind. Now you have to play catch up. It's a similar analogy to the Stars giving up the first 2 goals against Anaheim on Monday in 5 minutes. Well, now you got an uphill battle. If it was 1 goal and you limit the damage, you get 1, now you're back to level ground. That's not that bad. But trying to climb away, you looked at what Winnipeg did. They didn't lose for, like, it felt like 3 years. And and then San Jose didn't win a game for the first 9. That's a massive – now you're at the opposite end of the spectrum going, my God, that'll take a whole season to make up. So that's a big deal. But to answer the question, I think that – look, we didn't see Macklin Celebrini the last time these two teams met.
Right.
It was a real shame that he got hurt in the opener and missed, what was it, 12 games with his injury. That's a real disappointment for a young guy that has, oodles of talent. We'll see. I'm assuming he's playing tonight. I actually didn't look because I ducked out of there early so I could make sure I was here to talk to you. But, there is that talk of managing his minutes a little bit, kind of like Anaheim did with Leo Carlson last year. So there might be a scheduled healthy scratch around the corner, but I'm very excited to see him play live. And I think this team's going to be better than you think.
It'll be interesting. You brought up the Macklin angle, and I was just curious how much that was broached in the lead up to this game, because Macklin he's played 8 games. He's got 4 goals. He's got 5 points overall. He's, got a game winner the other night. And, a lot of the metrics show him as one of, a very high level performing forward in the NHL up to this point. But also, for a team like Dallas, I don't know how much the rookie talk breaks through.
Oh, I mean, the rookie talk is huge because the Stars' young rookie, who's barely a rookie because he played 24 games in the regular season last year, not 25, Logan Stankoven, is on our watch heavily as a Calder Trophy contender. Not to be a finalist, but to win it. And he's second in the league in rookie scoring. Matvei Michkov is really good, and he's going to be a challenge. I think Dustin Wolf is having a great year in Calgary,
right?
The goalie. That could be an interesting one. But I think it's Logan Stankoven's to lose. Now, of course, Celebrini is the big name because of being drafted first overall. But those 12 games being injured puts him behind the 8-ball, and now he has to chase a little bit. So it could happen. But, boy, I'll tell you what, it'll be really, really interesting for us. Now, it looks like, well, we're not going to get Askarov tonight. I was just skimming that as I was talking to you. Looks like Blackwood's going to start, and at least we'll get to see Celebrini tonight. So I'm excited for that. One of my showmates, Sean Shapiro, is a huge fan of Askarov and can't wait to see him play his first NHL game, but it's not going to be tonight. So that's disappointing.
Well, Owen, always great stuff as always, man. I will let you go because now you got stuff to do, but I appreciate your time. Enjoy the game and we'll talk soon. All right.
Well, just like the Stars season so far, I was meandering through that entire interview. So I hope you don't mind as I was going in and out of consciousness and focus. But it's always a pleasure, Ted. And let's do it again. What are we, February?
Yes.
In San Jose.
Yes.
That'll be right around the start of MLS too.
Yeah. I was like, once we see the schedule, we'll see if there's a confluence of events there.
I think it's a little early for the season to start, but not by a couple weeks.
Right on. I would appreciate your time.
Thanks, Ted.
Again, that is Owen Newkirk joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network, and we are just about out of time. Pre-game 4:30, go time 5 o'clock as the Sharks visit the Stars tonight in Dallas. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.